Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Wednesday of week two for the Eagles as they get ready to play the Falcons Sunday night in Atlanta. The Wednesday of week two means that we always start looking forward towards the other team, but there is still an issue that popped up from week one, and that is the Malik Jackson injury, the foot injury that he sustained against the Redskins. Yesterday, the Eagles put him on injured reserve. I got the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, to help me out and talk about that. Hey, Merrill, good morning. What was your reaction to hearing that Malik Jackson went on injured reserve, and what do we know beyond that?
We don't know much about that. There's speculation, and I have seen written reports, printed reports, that speculate that he has a Lisfranc injury, which could be season-ending. And it's the same. It's kind of foggy about injured reserve, because once upon a time, injured reserve meant you were out for the season. That was it. But now there are certain areas where you can bring so many people back from injured reserve. For example, earlier this season, they put the defensive back, Cravon LeBlanc, on injured reserve, and I believe they intend to bring him back at some point when he is healed. So we'll see how that works out as far as Malik Jackson is concerned. You know, Jim Schwartz spoke at his press conference, and he talked about the fact that he knows that Malik Jackson is so dedicated, and he's going to be rehabbing, and he said when he comes back, I know he's going to be getting back to speed, but he didn't say coming back could be next year or coming back could be in December. So who knows right now, but it's a big loss for the Eagles, and they have to fill that defensive tackle spot in other ways. And Jim Schwartz again said that's the life in the NFL. It's next man up, and that's what you do.
And that next man up, Merrill, is soon to be Tim Jernigan. What kind of pressure does this put on him? Tim missed a lot of last season with his own injury, but he had a great year when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So what should we expect from Tim Jernigan?
Well, he's a good football player. I don't think it puts additional pressure on him because he's part of the rotation. It may give him more work, but as far as pressure is concerned, guys like Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan and anybody in that game on the in any position, you go all out on every single play. So in terms of he can only do what he can do. And behind him, you have a young player who they traded for early in the season, Hassan Ridgeway. And there are other adjustments they can make. Somebody thought that there are times when you can move Vinnie Curry inside. You can do the same thing with Brandon Graham, move him inside on certain alignments. So there are a lot of ways, both strategically and personnel-wise, that you can make adjustments.
You know, you mentioned Jim Schwartz, how he had his press conference yesterday, and one of the things that was brought up to him was the amount of pressure that they put on Case Keenum and the Redskins in week one. And Jim brought up a point that it's not necessarily on the front to get that pressure. They had to do better coverage in terms of the secondary as well. What did you make of that?
Well, what he's basically saying is there are two kinds of sacks. There's one sack where you just get such a great rush on the quarterback and you can bury him. And there's the other that is always called a coverage sack, where the coverage is good and it causes the quarterback to hold the ball longer. So I think that's what he's pointing out, that the coverage could be better.
And you know, when we think about, you know, things that could be better, Merrill, who's one player on offense and who's one player on defense? And sorry if I'm putting you in a spot, but who's one player from offense and who's one player from defense who you think needs to have a better showing Sunday night than they did this past weekend?
Well, I think really, if you look at them all in the second half, there were probably 22 guys who played very well in that second half. So overall, it's a tough thing to say right now, mm-hmm. because you did early, and you could also say there were probably about you're not going to talk about Carson Wentz because he had a fabulous game, but he picked it up in the second half. Almost everybody has to play better than they did in the first half. We have a thing called who needs to get hot in the broadcast, and one of the things Mike Quick pointed out as we went into that third quarter is who needs to get hot 22 guys down there on the field. If they play the way they did in the second half, you're going to have a better performance throughout the game. But again, Atlanta is a much better team, a much more talented team than the Washington Redskins. So I would say all of them. But if they play, if Wentz was near perfect in the second half,
he was
amazing. I mean, you can't ask for any more from DeSean Jackson. And the offensive line was so solid in that second half. And even the defensive backs played better. The safeties played well pretty much throughout. And you have Fletcher Cox was feeling his way back into the game, mm-hmm. but I think he was more disruptive in the second half, too.
I think one player, Merrill, who a lot of people, and I heard you mention him in on your broadcast many times, one player who I guess everybody was hoping would have a kind of a better showing against the Redskins was Miles Sanders. His name was mentioned a lot, but he had a number of carries that didn't go for much or went for negative yardage. What can we expect from the rookie in Week 2?
Well, he's a terrific player, and I think what you saw from Miles Sanders, I think when he came into the game in the first half, I think you were talking about a guy feeling his way in game action, feeling the speed of NFL football, but I think we saw it later in the game where he broke away for one for a 17-yard run. One time he scored and a touchdown was called back on a very debatable holding call. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see Miles Sanders just progress as the weeks go on. Remember, he is a rookie, and it's not immediate. There is a certain feel you have to get for the game. And also, if you talk to running backs, they will all tell you that they have to get into the rhythm of a game. And Doug Peterson made certain that he got the ball often, and eventually he got into that rhythm.
In terms of the Falcons, Merrill, you know, it's their home opener. They're coming off of a bad loss against the Vikings. There's going to be a lot of built-up anger from that, and it's certainly the home opener will help. Who stands out to you on Atlanta?
Well, you can always start with Julio Jones, number 11. He is as elite a wide receiver as there is in the National Football League. He's absolutely a tremendous player. And, of course, you can't say enough about Matt Ryan, who they call Matty Ice, and who comes from Exton and played at Penn Charter. He is a true professional quarterback. He makes big plays. He doesn't do stupid things with the ball. He's very, very smart, and he knows what he's doing when he picks apart a defense. So offensively, you look at them. Devontae Freeman is a good, solid running back. Another wide receiver other than Julio Jones, you put him at number 12, Mohamed Sanu out there, and there's a young receiver, Calvin Ridgeway, who wears number 18. He can be very, very dangerous, too. And defensively, you take your pick. There are a myriad of guys. But they didn't play well at all against Minnesota. And as you pointed out, they're going to come back in a desperation mode.
And one more thing, Merrill. Mercedes-Benz Dome or Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't have the name off the top of my head, but this is the first time, unless I'm mistaken, that the Eagles and you guys will be going to this new Atlanta Dome. What challenges will a dome, and particularly this new big mega dome that they build in Atlanta, what challenges will that bring for the Eagles' offense?
You've heard me speak many times that I don't like domes. You can throw them all in the ocean because to me, football is an outside game where when you play with the sky blue and gorgeous like it was last week and you play in the elements that brings another dimension to it. So I'm not a dome fan, but the one extra challenge that a dome always presents is it holds in the noise. And the Eagles will be working this week with silent counts and things that they have to do to go against that.
Well, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz speak this morning. Looking forward to your thoughts and what they have to say tomorrow. Thanks for the time, as always, Merrill. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you, Dave.
Voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.